Life Audio.
Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Welcome back to another episode of Christian Natural Health. Today, I'm pleased to have Brad and Starla Walker with us. Brad and Starla have 8 kids and live on their 15-acre homestead in southern Indiana, just outside of Louisville, Kentucky. They garden, raise livestock, homeschool their children, and operate their family business, Abby's Elderberry. They have personally experienced the benefits of elderberry for years and jumped at the opportunity to take ownership of Abby's in late 2022. Since that time, they have shipped their products to 42 states and have about 20 retail locations to date. That's amazing, guys. So welcome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So first, tell us a little bit about the homesteading lifestyle. Like, is it generational? Was that a decision that you guys just made on your own? How'd that happen?
So just no, it's not generational. My granddaddy was a dairy farmer, but my dad kind of grew up in the suburbs. My mom wanted to get as far away from the farming life as possible. And so I grew up in the suburbs of St. Louis and had no real skills of related to homestead farming, hunting, processing animals, growing anything. If it didn't come out of a box, I didn't eat it.
Right.
So, yeah. And then we got married 11 years ago and all that changed.
Mm-hmm. So this is you, Starla, it sounds like.
So
kind of.
I had some good friends in college who grew up on dairy farms, and it always looked like fun to me. Having a large family, being more connected to the land, that was appealing. But I had never truly lived in the country, and so I honestly didn't know if I would like or love living in the country. But I knew that I wanted to eat healthy and feed our family healthy food, farm fresh food. And so for me, it's not generational either. Mm-hmm. I mean, many generations back, yeah, they were farmers, but, my grandma had a garden and my mom had a garden a few times growing up, but that's really the extent of farming that I grew up around.
Okay. So, how did you learn after, you know, if you neither one of you had the background?
Yeah. So Brad was in law enforcement and I really wanted, when we got married, he was a police officer. Okay. And then about a year after we got married, he stopped doing that. But I knew he could shoot a gun. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted him to learn how to hunt. And so I found the sweet older gentleman who his wife wanted him to have a hunting buddy. Yeah. And so I introduced them and I nudged Brad and I said, let's do this.
Actually, the way it worked is I showed up late to like a breakfast that my mom was hosting of her neighbors. And by the time I showed up to the breakfast, they already had our first hunting trip scheduled.
And you're like, oh, okay.
Then. I was like, I guess I'm going hunting. So it was just never something that really interested in me because you were, you know, you're sitting 15 feet up in the tree and it's usually cold and it's quiet and you're just waiting and hoping for something to walk by. And I was like, that sounds stupid and uneventful. And that year, it was the last day of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I shot my first deer the last day of the season. Yeah. And like actually for the first time in my life, we cooked some of it for dinner that night.
So you knew how to clean it and skin it and do all the things?
He did.
He did.
Okay. So he taught me, he taught me all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so we took some of it and we cooked it that night. And I just had this epiphany, like I can actually provide food for my family, like not by working a job and going to the grocery store and buying whatever junk that they have.
Right.
Like I could actually do this. And when I got that first deer, I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there it was, we lived on a quarter acre, in a pretty urban setting.
Yeah. We had chickens. I think we had 6 chickens that came with the house.
Mm-hmm.
So we already had, okay. Yeah.
Just egg laying chickens that we were renting it from some friends and they couldn't take their chickens with them and asked if we wanted them. And we were like, yeah, we'll take them.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Wow.
Yeah. So we had chickens and then he learned to hunt.
Yeah.
And then the first thing we butchered outside of the deer was rabbits.
Right. Okay.
So we had meat rabbits in the city, which if you live in a city, a few chickens and meat rabbits are the thing to do because no one's going to know that you have rabbits in your backyard.
True, I guess.
And if you do, they'll just think it's a pet.
Yeah.
You just have to set up a little tent to butcher, which would be fine. I mean, you totally could do that. So
what was going on? Wow, interesting.
Yep.
But so, just like the deer, when I got hooked on hunting, we started adding meat chickens. So I built a portable pen.
Mm-hmm.
In the front yard of our quarter acre house. Mm-hmm. And we would put meat chickens in it and we would move them every day to a different section. Mm-hmm. And ultimately to answer your question, we learned everything through YouTube.
Oh,
we started buying books, Joel Salatin books. We started watching Justin Rhodes and some other people on YouTube. Oh. And we just got hooked. And then from there, we would have people over for dinner and we would cook them one of the chickens that we raised.
And they probably taste totally different, right?
And they would praise that this was the best tasting chicken they'd ever had and they would want to take one home with them.
Yeah.
And so we thought, oh, we could, if we did this enough,
sure,
then our chicken would be free.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so as all this is going on, I'm getting more into hunting and I'm wanting my own place to go hunting. And so we looked for land for 3 years and we found our current place that we have now, which was a total providence from the Lord that we got it. It had 2 contracts on it before we got to it and they both fell through. Wow. And, And so, we had a 5-year plan that we were going to make homesteading our full-time job.
That's great. Wow.
And we did it in 2 years.
And then COVID happened. And we just have so many children that the government, probably wrongly, but it is what it is. We got a lot of money that year because we have so many children.
Yeah.
And so we just poured it all into the farm.
Wow. So that's amazing how everything worked together in the perfect timing. Crazy. Yep. And so do you guys have a community around you now is it all still YouTube or do you have like a community of other homestead families around you as well?
Yeah. So there's quite a few, we've built some friendships and some relationships in the area, where we help each other out. I mean, we've had cows get stuck in our creek, and I call up a couple friends and they come over and help me pull them out and, we've shared equipment with people and things like that.
Yeah.
So there's a there's a good community here. We've been able to teach. One of the pastors at our church, I went over and showed his family how to butcher chickens and things like that. So want to help people learn to take control of their food and for their own health and things like that too.
Yeah, it's so adulterated these days. So do you guys like have reciprocal trading at all going on? Like within the community, do you trade or you mostly just trade knowledge and help each other out kind of a thing?
I
think once you live in a community like this, it just sort of happens naturally. Yeah. You know, like you'll pop over to someone's house and like, hey, I have this bushel of whatever.
Yeah.
Do you want it?
Some extra.
Sure.
Got it.
Yeah. It's just, it just comes in seasons. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And and people, so we do it as a business and for profit. And we have a lot of friends in the community that don't. They just grow a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when they harvest it, they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this.
Yeah, sure. No, that makes
And sense. So they literally come like carrying crates over to our house and they just dump it out on our table. And then we spend the next 2 days
lacto fermenting it,
fermenting jalapeno peppers. And, you know, we get corn and tomatoes and we make salsa and all that kind of stuff. So,
and then we give stuff away.
Absolutely.
Because we usually, whatever they give is often more than we could use too. And I think that's the great thing about community is that you do something and then someone just happens to be over and they're like, oh, what are you doing? And then it encourages them to do it. And so it's one thing to see it on YouTube. And then it's another to know that someone is it is attainable because a normal person is doing it.
It's real. Yeah.
And so I think that community part is important and it's there. If you move to the country or even in the suburbs and you're there and you just kind of, who's homesteading, who's doing stuff, someone is doing it. And we're all in a different place in our skill set. Yeah. So like right now we butcher, we do bees. I
make bread.
I lacto ferment. I make salves and I tincture a lot of things. So, but things that we haven't done yet, like oil pressing, or I don't know, there's a lot of things that we haven't gotten into, making our own essential oils,
sure, yeah,
making wine. We haven't done that. So there's just a lot of things that it's encouraging to see other people doing. Cause then we're like, oh yeah, we need to add that in.
Yeah. That's great. So give me a rough idea of like both of your schedules. Morning to night, what are you doing with your days?
So it's not as crazy as most people sounds like it is. Yeah. So we're generally awake. Maybe it is.
I think it is. it depends on the season, but yeah.
So we're usually awake 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning.
You share yours and then I'll share what I do. Because okay. It is different.
Yeah. So usually I'm up by 7 o'clock. I'll share some of that we both do together. Like we do it and the kids do it. The first thing we do when we get up is we read our Bibles and spend time in the Word. And then usually I'll spend my morning doing some administrative stuff for the business. And then I'll get to it. So if I have, we have a commercial kitchen on our property. So our elderberry business, I don't have to go to work. I just walk 20 feet down to the barn and go to the kitchen and the kids come and hang out with me and they help me. So I'll be in there for 2 or 3 hours. Yeah. I'll come back up. If they're not sending me lunch, I'll eat lunch. I package up orders that have come in. I try to get to the post office every day, ship stuff out. We have dinner together. We do family worship together one night a week. So we open up, I teach the Bible, we sing songs together. And then usually we have a bedtime routine. We have a special day. So one thing that we do that's probably unique to a lot of families is, so one thing that we learned a couple years ago is that with so many kids, they were not getting good one-on-one time with us. And our attention was always going elsewhere. And so Monday through Friday, right now, currently, Monday through Friday, each kid has a day. And so they know what their day is. And we're about to add another one in the next 6 months or so, right? Nora will get her own day.
Yeah, she's ready.
In the next 6 months
she's
or so.
Due.
They get anywhere from 1 to 2 hours just with us. So all the other kids have to leave. They have to go to their room. And so we spend time with just that kid doing something that they want to do.
Yeah. And so, they also get a special snack.
Right.
Which is usually a homemade treat of some sort. So they only get sugar from us like once or twice a week usually. And that's one of those times. So we're trying to teach them moderation with sugar consumption. We don't want it to be something they never have so that when they leave our house, they're like, I'm just going to eat bags of candy every day. We want them to learn moderation and eat, choosing wisely. You know, a home-baked good that has organic ingredients is worlds apart from something from the store. So,
but that's the general gist of my day. We do eat, we make three meals a day. Mm-hmm. We eat three meals a day together as a family. So
So I wake up usually a little bit before you. Usually I'm up around six. I'll read the Bible, have a cup of coffee, and then fold laundry, put it all away. We have an awesome laundry system that is like joyful to do laundry instead of like pulling your hair out because you have so much laundry. We just have a whole bunch of Sterilite containers that has each person's name on them, and they are stacked too high on top of a table. And I just take their clothes from on top of the Sterilite containers and fold them and put them in their clothes and it or in their boxes. And it probably takes me half an hour to 45 minutes to do everyone's laundry, and I'm due probably three loads a day most days, sometimes more. So I do that. I usually watch a YouTube video, something that either has to do with faith, a skill, or health. And so I've learned a lot just watching podcasts on YouTube, because I'm doing it for 30 or 45 minutes every single day. And I do think that's so important. Because we all need encouragement to do the right things, you know, reading the Bible, staying in the Word, being a Christian, eating healthy, being self-disciplined in other areas. So I do think that time is really important, I think, especially for moms.
Yeah.
Homeschool.
Yeah. So then after that, I'll do other chores. We're minimalists. We're maximal with our children and our books. So we have to be minimalist everywhere else.
Yep, you gotta get your priorities straight for sure.
Yep. So I go around the house and tidy things up, and our kids also tidy things up. We get dressed. Everybody fixes their hair. We
usually don't eat breakfast until 9 or 10 o'clock mm-hmm. every day. Lunch is pretty small.
Yep.
But and once then breakfast comes, you're starting homeschool. Kind of throughout the day until 2 or 3.
Right. So after we eat breakfast, then, which is, you know, homemade, usually the kids help me make whatever we're having. Usually it's something to do with sourdough and protein. And then we homeschool. We do classical conversations type memorization things. And then we do science. And then they all do individual book work for language arts and math. And then a few times a week, Brad reads history to everyone. But they're also learning a lot of history through classical conversations. And geography, which is so important. And they also do handwriting and typing every day. So they're really hitting all the different things. And school only takes them 2 hours a day, pretty much.
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, 2 to 3 hours for each kid is the most that they're doing.
Well, the older ones are pretty self-directed at this point. The 10-year-old and the 9-year-old pretty much kind of are able to get their stuff. They know what's expected of them. They can sit down and do it. And they know that the sooner they get it done, for the most part, they know that the sooner they get it done.
The 10-year-old knows that anyway.
Yeah, the 10-year-old knows that. Then they can move on to doing, because they're little budding entrepreneurs. They want to start businesses and figure things out. And so they're trying to do that throughout the day too. And so,
yeah. So, and then, I do a massage every day, pretty much at some point. And they usually watch TV while I do that. Which that's probably one of their favorite parts of the day, or they go outside and play. And then the rest of the day, besides the 3 hours of school, 2 to 3 hours of school, they usually play the piano or guitar during that time at some point. Also, the rest of the time they're outside or doing some sort of project that they really want to do.
Fantastic. Yeah. So are you guys ever able to go on vacation? If you've got like all this stuff to take care of, how does it take care? Like, how do you leave?
Yeah.
So we hadn't gone on vacation in a while because we had dairy cows.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
And yeah, and that really tethers you. So one of the beautiful things about this lifestyle is that it tethers you to the land.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also the downside of it too, is mm-hmm. that it tethers you so much that it's really hard to do anything really. But we didn't have any dairy cows this year. And so we were able to, her parents live in Myrtle Beach. Okay. And so we are able to get a Myrtle Beach vacation road trip with the kids.
Yeah.
It's hard to vacation when you've got 7-8 kids, but we get to go to Myrtle Beach and spend some time there and get away. And so we've had some people come look after our place and things like that and feed our chickens, the dogs and stuff.
Maybe that
right. Works. Right. But we managed to get away some.
Great. So, and then, so as far as the gardening, do you garden or do you farm? Like, do you make all the fruits and vegetables, or not make, but, you know, grow them, all the things that your family eats, or do you buy stuff from the store still, or how does that work?
Yeah. We're probably 80% of everything that we consume. We either grow it, raise it, or hunt it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe
not quite that much anymore.
Yeah,
because we don't have the cows anymore. So
yeah, I mean, some of it depends on the year too.
Right.
There are some years where I'm really on top of it with the garden, and then there are some, like I had a baby pretty relatively fresh this year during garden season, so we had a ton of tomatoes, a ton of peppers, a ton of
cucumbers,
lettuce, cucumbers, cabbage. Like there were quite a few things I had a lot of. My onions didn't do well this year.
Our corn didn't do well.
Yeah, our corn didn't do well.
Our potatoes did pretty good.
They did. And so it just depends on the year. Last year we had a lot, even more potatoes, and we had a lot of squash. And the squash didn't do well this year. So So it does vary per year. And honestly, if you talk to any gardener, they always say that, like, there's always something that does better than usual and something that doesn't do as well.
Well, and one thing we've been doing, and this may be too homesteady, but like our soil here is garbage. It's very hard and clay. And so, and we have slate underneath us. And so one of the things that it just takes time is rebuilding good soil to make your, and so we had just set up a kitchen garden right in the front of our house. That is primarily everything that she uses. And the soil is amazing right there. And so that garden really flourished this year.
Yeah. And honestly, if I was to encourage someone to start gardening, even, I would say put it right in front of your front door or back door, whichever one you go out the most, because it will get lots of attention. A garden that you have to walk a good bit of ways to get to. Yeah. It's just when you're busy inside, it's not going to get as much attention.
That definitely makes sense for sure. So if you get a huge harvest of something, I know you guys sell the elderberries. Do you sell everything, or do you mostly like can and find ways to store the excess?
So we don't really grow enough produce.
Yeah.
So when we were doing farmers markets, we didn't do any farmers markets this year. We did the previous two 2 or 3 years, we did farmers market, and we were doing primarily meat and dairy.
Okay, got it.
So we were doing milk and chicken,
mm-hmm.
and duck primarily, and then we did like holiday turkeys and stuff. We've yet to grow enough produce to have enough to sell or really to share. But with a family our size, it takes a lot. So like we can pound potatoes, we can pound green beans, all that stuff. So
you're gonna have to do a ton in terms of preservation because mostly it's eaten, sounds like.
We don't do canning. We do lacto fermenting, which is and then you freeze green beans and stuff like that. Cause I refuse to eat canned green beans. It's just
a thing.
just a thing. I never liked green beans until I met this woman. So
she's working on you. Maybe that'll change. Yeah. you're growing the elderberry, you're selling the elderberry. Any other medicinal herbs that you're particularly using?
Yeah, so I have tinctured probably 7 or 8 different things from our property.
Really?
So I tincture honeysuckle, goldenrod, red clover. I didn't tincture, but I turned it into I just can't think of what it's called when you use oil, but I did purple dead nettle, salve. Okay. I feel like there's other things too.
And most of that stuff is just foraged from around. It's not stuff that we're planting intentionally.
We do have yarrow, so I want to do something with yarrow in the past or in the future. I've tinctured hops that Brad had from making beer, and there is one other thing I tinctured. Sumac, staghorn sumac.
Yeah. And so do you guys mostly do kind of herbal medicine for the family? Do you still do traditional medicine? What's like your, no. Okay. And so is that to do this stuff work?
We only use it when we feel it's absolutely necessary. So we haven't completely written it off. We see value in it because we've had a couple really sick kids at certain points.
We've used antibiotics for, I think, 2 children twice. Once or twice. Yeah. And we have used albuterol. There was a season where we needed albuterol frequently.
Doing breathing treatments for lung issues and stuff.
But she had asthma for a few years and she's in complete remission. She hasn't had an episode in 2 years.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. And you had used elderberry for a long time before you bought Abby. So what do you make with it? What do you use it for? All of that.
Yeah. So we started making it, you started making it like 7 years ago, I think is kind of where we've landed on that. And here's the irony is that I hated it.
Really?
I was like, I would come home and I was like, oh, you made elderberry again. It just, the smell of it and everything about it just was not pleasing to me. And then we buy an elderberry business and it's everything for me now. So
when you're just cooking the elderberries, it does kind of have an interesting odor. But when you bring in cloves and cinnamon and ginger, it smells just kind of like Christmas.
Yeah, that's great. So now when you're making syrup, it's not straight elderberry. Now you're putting a bunch of different herbs in there all mixed together.
Yeah. So we have a recipe. We use organic elderberries, we have organic ginger, organic cinnamon, organic clove, and then we use as a sweetener either regionally sourced honey, raw honey. We have a maple syrup farm about 15 miles from us, and so we use maple syrup from them for our maple variety. And so the things that we can't get like certified organic and things like that, we're able to go visit the farm. They come from trusted sources that we know where it's coming from and what's in it and all that stuff. So we put a lot of care and attention into the products that we're creating.
Great. And so most people think of elderberry for immune support. Do you guys have other things that you recommend it for in particular?
It's anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. So it helps with joint issues and things like that.
I was reading an article the other day that said that it was good for heart health.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I'm sure because it's an anti-inflammatory.
Yeah. And you know what's so interesting is that the more you study all the various plants, almost every single one of them is antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial. It's like God just wanted us to be healthy. And he's got right. all things in there for.
It's amazing how many things within natural creation.
Sure. Yeah. Have medicinal.
Create health.
That people have in their backyards. Right. You know, if they don't spray them and if their neighbor doesn't spray them with poison. Exactly. Then they can use them.
For sure. Awesome. So, and so you said that you're making salves as well and tinctures and now syrups. So is that basically the, what you typically do? And then like whatever you happen to have excess of, you'll look up what it does medicinally and then tincture it, or how does that work?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yep. I just kind of, if I'm like, oh, that looks like something that might be helpful to us. Well, I also just kind of know in general, there's probably 15 things that I can go in my backyard and I know what that is. So I haven't done much with plantain yet, but my plan is to. I know we have jewel weed out there. I know we have lots of different, a few varieties of dock that I haven't messed with yet. We have pokeberries that I'm going to do something with at some point. There's just a few herbs that I know are there that I just haven't done anything with yet.
Yeah, that'll come somewhere down. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So what kind of, if purchase is available online, it sounds like, because you get together packages and then you ship them off, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was it like to try to get your business? I mean, it's in 42 states, you said, and 20 retail locations. How big an endeavor was that to get all that going?
Well, if I can update those numbers, we've hit 48 states now.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
And yeah.
We showed the two that we're missing.
Yeah, if anybody from Maine or Delaware is listening, please come buy from us because we want to finish off the map here.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so it was something I wanted to do fun to track it because it would be easy, you know. It's great just like slinging orders out and getting them shipped out, but you know, when you homeschool, everything's education, and so you get we started off with having the kids put the pins in and things like that. And our map now, we actually had a Facebook memory yesterday showing the map a year ago. We have this huge, it's probably 4 by 8 foot map over our desk. And we put a pin in every city that we ship to. And so we had this map last year, the picture of it. And it was pretty cool seeing like maybe like 20 or so states last year. And now it's like completely filled up, and it's a beautiful thing. It's been overwhelming at times, but in a good way, in a very good way.
Well, and two, we didn't start the business. So we right. bought the business a year ago from John Moody and his family. So Abby is his daughter. So Abby's elderberry, and they started it as a family business. And she wanted to get a horse. So they live in Kentucky, in the rolling hills of Kentucky. And we bought it from them a year ago. And she got a puppy.
Aww.
So she hasn't gotten a
she
horse
She decided
yet,
she but... didn't want a horse anymore. And we had a litter of puppies. And so she asked for a puppy. And so she got her puppy.
So that's great.
But they've been close friends. I went to seminary with John 20 plus years ago, and you know, John kind of just casually mentioned that he just had a lot going on. He's started food conferences and he speaks at different events throughout the year, and it was just more than he could give his attention to, and the business was growing and it needed to grow more, but he just couldn't get it there. He just couldn't give it the time to it. And so he just casually mentioned it, and we jumped at the opportunity. And yeah, it's been a wonderful, overwhelming, kind providence from the Lord that that we've had that for the past year or so.
So when he says we jumped at it, he means we were fearfully excited about it. And then we like we talked about it a lot, and I very seriously considered wet blanketing it because it that's my job.
That's her job.
Know, as the wife. So Brad is a schemer, which is awesome. And I really wish that more men were like that slash had the chutzpah to like go out and do things like that, because we need that. Like, we need husbands to step up and to start businesses and to take risks. And as wives, it's our job to figure out like what is wise and what is just a fad for this week that they won't actually enjoy doing, because that's a way to help them, is to help them figure that out. And so we talked about it and we prayed about it, and it was a big risk. I mean, we took out a loan, and you know, we're still in the process of paying for it. But I think it was definitely worth the risk.
Yeah.
And so that's the, when you're starting a new business or when you're acquiring a business that's already existing, really counting the cost and weighing the risk versus the benefit.
And the reality that, right, like just when you start a business, you're not going to make six figures.
Yes, seriously.
Right, immediately. It doesn't matter how good your product is. You have to hustle it and work. And I have hustled and worked hard the past 6 to 8 months, which is usually the off season. And now we're really starting to see fruit from that. September through February, March is really our busy season. And we're starting to see a lot of fruit from that. And The fear is gone.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And now it's, how do we keep moving forward? How do we, you know, how do we get our name out there? And
fantastic. Good for you guys. So what have I not asked you that you want to make sure you leave with our audience?
Our website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Abby'selderberry.com is where you can buy all of our products. And there's actually... if you don't mind, also, we've started our own podcast.
Oh yeah. Okay.
We had to hit a pause on it because we have some really old technology in our computers, and we're trying to get that stuff updated, and our computers decided they didn't want to record and save and publish for us anymore. So, but the Fruitful Family Podcast, you can get to it through the Abby's Elderberry website. Where we share more of our story. We talk about our faith. So part of our faith is that I've been a pastor for 17 in the past 20 so years, and not currently in that role now. But so we share how that shapes all of these decisions that we've made with business and with family, and why do we have a large family and things like that. We talk about our farm and the adventure, and we take different aspects. We've talked about wellness. We talked about homeschooling, all those different things. So,
yep. So I'll link in the show notes to both of those things. And thank you guys so much. This has been really fascinating for me to kind of peer behind the curtain of what it's like with a different lifestyle. So fantastic.
Appreciate it.
And yeah, I think it's really fun. I think the more you... So I would encourage people in general, like if you think you might want to live in the country, go for it. I mean, now is the time to buy. Look, 5 years ago was better. Now is probably going to be better than 5 years from now. I just don't see land prices going down. So if you think you might like it and you have a desire to live more in tune with nature, more in tune with, I think, how God designed systems to be, I absolutely think that you should do it. You should try it. Because the worst that's going to happen is you decide you don't like it and you sell it, make a profit, and go back to the city or the suburbs.
That was our plan.
Yeah, it's not a waste because land prices only go up. So yeah, we have really enjoyed the safety that comes with living in the country. Just having our children go outside, be safe, me not feeling anxious that someone's going to kidnap them or... you know, whatever, they're going to see something really weird that they shouldn't see. And they can just go play outside and be kids, and they're not stuck inside on a phone or on a tablet all day because it's beautiful outside. And why wouldn't you want to go outside? Our children are constantly saying, and we have taught them this, but even outside of us doing this ourselves, they're learning to do it. They go outside and like, Mom, look how beautiful this is. Or, you know, they'll just find a pretty leaf or a rock. And children especially are so enamored with the world that God created.
They'll admire it until they light it on fire with a magnifying glass. But
I mean, and that's,
but that's what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, I think that that experience is priceless. And I think we're not doing so much. We're not trying to do everything. And you can't, as a homesteader, we're not, I mean, unless something big really happens, even so, we're not going to be doing everything. Everyone, if something big happened and things were not what they should, not what we're used to, everybody would have to work together to do different things. Because one family just cannot do everything. And so I think we're
actually only on 15 acres. Yeah, that we have too.
So. Right. But I think if we all don't try to do everything and we just do some things that we can, and we don't make it overwhelming, then our children are going to want to do that too. I think there have been times where farming just sucked the life out of people and their children are like, I don't want to do that. That doesn't look like fun. That looks way too hard. And so making it not so hard, making it enjoyable and showing them why we're doing it, not only from the Bible, but just practically for your health and all these things, I think it's going to raise up a generation of children who want to follow our footsteps, not because they have to, but because they can.
Yeah. And going back to, as you say, the basics of the way that God created food to be and you know, getting in touch with the natural world. So absolutely. It's great.
Right.
Well, thank you guys so much. This has been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Are you looking for a holistically minded healthcare practitioner who truly treats root cause rather than symptom suppression? Unfortunately, even in the alternative healing professions, this isn't a given. That's why I've created wholehealthdoctor.com, a resource to help connect patients to healthcare practitioners in their area who share a root cause philosophy. Alternatively, most of the practitioners listed also practice telehealth. So if there isn't anyone local to you, you can still find a great practitioner to help you regain optimal health. Go to wholehealthdoctor.com. That's wholehealthdr.com. Type in your location or just the specialty that you're looking for and find the practitioner who's right for you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren Deville. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week. and God bless you.
If you're tired of parenting advice and news headlines that are more confusing than assembling IKEA furniture, we've got just the podcast for you. My dear friend Abby and I are here to help you navigate the parenting roller coaster.
Should your kids be on social media? What should you tell a friend facing an unplanned pregnancy? These are just some of the many questions we tackle on our podcast.
Subscribe to The Real Deal of Parenting wherever you find your podcast.